Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hillside Church podcast. My name is Brad, and I serve Hillside Church as the lead pastor. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you in this way. God has so much in store for you and for your life, and one of the ways God works in our lives is through the study of his word, like the message you're about to hear. Our prayer for you is that as you share in this message, if it's me preaching or if it's someone else, is that God's word would minister to your heart and life in a most powerful way. Thanks again for being part of our church family. God bless you.
I wanted to just kind of highlight like a thread, a common thread that I noticed throughout all the stories that we've heard. The first thing that stood out to me was that there were lives that were transformed and changed. There were course corrections that happened because of a word. A word from Scripture, just one verse sometimes, that completely changed things, turned things around. That's the case in my testimony. It might have been a word from a friend when Matt was encouraging Luke and he was there for him at just the right time. It might have been, like we heard with John, he heard a testimony from someone else's story. So he received a word and that changed his life. And then the other common thread that I noticed is that in so many of these stories, what was required was a new level of faith, a trust, a decision that I am going to trust God in this, even though I don't know the outcome, or it's really scary, or I have no idea what's going to happen here. But there was a decision to trust. And so I recognize, like, and I love testimony, that there is power. There is so much power in testimony. So before I bring Nena up, I wanted to share with you some of the things I noticed about the power of testimony. So there is power in testimony. In fact, Pastor Brad shared this a couple weeks ago from Revelations 12, verse 11, where it says that the enemy is defeated by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus dying for us, and by the word of our testimony. So it's our testimony that defeats the enemy. And it's no wonder that, you know, I think sometimes we decide that we're going to play small, that my story or my little story or my little testimony about either my salvation or what God's done in my life or how God spoke to me, it's not really important. But it is important, and the enemy has done a really good job of getting us to kind of to shrink, and I want to encourage you, church, to begin to step into sharing your stories and sharing your testimony with each other and asking each other, what's your story? One of the things that we can do is when we get together is we can start to change our small talk or move from small talk to asking about somebody's story. And if you don't know if they're a Christian or not, you can just say, tell me about your faith journey. If they're at church, you can kind of assume they maybe, you know, they might believe in God. So tell me about your faith journey. So those are just ways that you can kind of open up those doors and be willing to listen. You don't always have to share your story back. You can just listen, but often they will ask for yours, and then that's an opportunity to share your story as well. So I noticed that as we share testimony, that it preserves the memory. And we'll see that the Israel, we can read in the Old Testament how the Israelites were encouraged to remember, to preserve the memory. They were told to set up, pile up stones. They were doing different things to help remember and to pass the story, the testimony on from generation to generation. So when we tell our story, more than once, it preserves the memory. It preserves what happened. It reminds us of how faithful God is. It causes us to worship him because of his faithfulness when we hear those things. When we share our stories, we broadcast to the world. And there's a couple scriptures that were really, that have stood out to me for years, and it comes from Psalm 96, verse 3, and it says, publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone, not just tell some people, it's tell everyone about the amazing things he does. And then there's a little tagline in Mark chapter 7 that says, everything he does is wonderful. So, yes, it broadcasts to the world. So I want to encourage you, church, to begin to share your testimony more freely. It gives God the glory, and it begins to build our faith. So what happens is when you hear someone else's story and what happened, what that does is that builds your faith, and then it raises your level of trust and faith that God could maybe do that for you. And if that's what you are thinking, anytime you hear anybody's testimony, their story, they're talking about what God's done for them, if you need that, if you need that word, if you need that faith, if you need them to pray with you, you can have that. If they had a miracle, you can have a miracle too. So it builds our faith. And then the last thing that I just noticed recently is that it teaches us compassion, that it kind of changes sometimes the paradigm of what we thought about somebody or what we thought we knew. And then all of a sudden we hear this story and we're like, wow, I feel like I know you a little more now. And it just changes our heart towards people, and it builds compassion in us, which is a good thing, don't you think? So when we testify, we release a word that can change the present. So this is a word from the past that changes the present. And so, again, church, I want to encourage you to ask each other, what's your story? Tell me your story. What's your faith journey? So this morning, we have two more stories of trust, where we've both learned to trust the Lord in something that was difficult, and that we've heard God, both in different ways, but we heard God talk to us, and then that changed the outcome of our story. So I'm going to call up my friend Nena, and she's going to come and share with us. So welcome her. A little microphone there for you. All right, so here we go. Second time round. All good? You look beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. I dress down, she dresses up. So, we were talking the other day about your name, actually.
Yeah.
And so we call you Nena, but there's a little more to the story.
Yeah, so many people say Nena, like Pastor Brad, but it's actually Nena. Nena is a short form of a longer name, which is Nena Chong. Nena Chong means I will go places.
Ooh, that's nice. Say, I will go places. So has that been fulfilled in your life? Have you gone places?
Yes, literally I have.
She's the only one in her family that's actually moved to another country, another continent.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're going places, Nena.
Yeah, correct.
Awesome.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you.
All right, so we're going to tell us a story about God's faithfulness in a little bit, but I first wanted to just talk to you about how you came to the Lord. So you were 8 years old when you came to know Jesus personally.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
So I attended a Catholic primary school, elementary school as we call it here. And one day I was having a conversation with my dad, telling him how we could pray through Mary. And that was the way we were taught. And he gave us this scripture. It was me and my cousin. And he gave us this scripture stating that we can approach the throne of grace directly. I think it's in Hebrews. I don't remember the exact reference. And the converse,
come boldly to the throne.
Come boldly, yes, where we receive mercy and grace, so we can do it ourselves. And the work of Christ on the cross gave us that enablement to go to Christ directly. We didn't need an intermediary or intermediate person. And I remember that the conversation ended in this verse where if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved, yes. So he then asked if we wanted to give our lives to Christ by believing in our hearts, and so that we can pray directly, and you know, so we agreed, and that was how we came to Christ. So it's not like a supernatural experience or an encounter, but yes, this is.
So sometimes we think, well, I don't have a story like John who shared last week, but it's a very valid story of salvation.
Yes.
And we all have different stories. However, mine was a little similar, where I came to the Lord through that same verse. I was not 8, though. I was 19, and I was in my first year of university. And it was, university is kind of like, what am I going to do with my life? And you're reassessing, does God exist? I always believed in God, but I wasn't really sure how that all worked. Mm-hmm. And there was a girl that ended up studying with me in a study hall, just the two of us, and she ended up sharing the Lord with me and talking about that I need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. So I started to read my Bible. Well, a Bible, I don't know where I got it from. Maybe she gave it to me, I don't know. I'm reading the Bible all by myself, and I'm reading in the book of Romans, and I come across that verse, Romans 10, 9, and 10. It says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And I just went, oh, okay. And I literally just prayed in that moment. And then I knew, even in my youngness of being a baby Christian, that I needed to confess, that I needed to tell somebody. Yes. So then I began to tell people. I told my cousin, wrote him a letter. That was back in the day when there's no emails. And then told my friends. And yeah, haven't looked back.
Yeah.
So cool. I like it that we've got this commonality between us. That was exciting to figure out. So you're going to tell a story that actually began about 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So tell us about this journey that you went on.
Right. So some of you have heard my story, but of course, for the benefit of those who haven't, exactly 4 years ago this month, myself and Ezra took a decision. We sold everything we had, packed our bags, and took a long flight miles and miles away from Nigeria to Canada.
And you had two kids at the time.
Yes, with two of our kids. One was 11 months and the first was 5 years at the time. So, and we had plans to come in, look for jobs, settle, and live the dream life, right? The Canada life. So, but on arrival, like 4 weeks into arrival, I realized I was pregnant.
Okay, and this is also in the middle of COVID.
Yes, it was June of 2020. Yes. So, and that was...
Pregnant,
and that was the last thing on our list. Like, we didn't even think, we had planned to have just two kids anyway, so... You know, but when we have our own plans, God has his own purposes for us. And we struggled to, it was not something we just decided straight away that, no, this baby cannot come in the way of our plans. The baby didn't exist anywhere in our calculation. So we're just going to do away with the baby and move on with life. So I, at that point, I actually realized that it was a struggle to obey or do what God says.
And in the first service, you said, "I'm pro-life."
Yes,
right?
We've always believed that we're pro-life people, but here we are faced with the same situation that we thought that we would just agree to just keep the baby, but no. It was a struggle. We knew that we didn't want that baby in the way, you know, of our plans. And so
God had different plans.
Yes. So, and so the thing is, after we had taken our decision, we called our doctor. We had already gotten a family doctor. It was not that hard at the time. So we called, we booked our appointments with her. And, but I struggled in my spirit. Like, I didn't have peace at all. And I just thought something wasn't right, but of course you just keep pushing it behind, you know. So what happened was I approached the lady that we stayed with. That was the first thing I did. We were living somewhere. When you come, just someone that gave us a room to manage, right? So I approached her, a very nice lady, and she just asked me, so how many abortions did you have when you were single? I'm like, none. And so now you're married, you have Ezra, who is very supportive, and you now want to do away with the baby. I'm like, yes. I just felt she was judging me, like, this is not why I came. I had my plan. I just needed someone to put a stamp on it. You know, you just need to get another approval, another yes to your wrong. Yeah? So she didn't give me what I wanted. I managed to get out of the conversation. I left the room. I went away. I'm like, okay. I still had my plans anyway. And then at that time, I had a friend in Nigeria, very close. She's been trying for a baby. She still hasn't had one yet. So I couldn't even speak to her about it. I was just on my own. So the only person I could talk to is giving me this vibe, no. So we went to see the doctor. And the moment we just told her, I think I'm pregnant. Oh, congratulations. Have you started your prenatal vitamins? I'm like, no, I haven't. She went quickly without listening or trying to know what I was there for. She went, grabbed a big box and just gave it to me and told me exactly how I was going to be taking it.
Ouch.
So then I told her, well, that's not why I'm here. We came because... 11 months post cesarean session, I had my last baby, and ideally, medically, I shouldn't be pregnant by now. So let's just, you know, you need to just do what you have to do to get rid of the baby. She's like, is that the only reason? Like, because we're gonna take care of you. Like, we'll watch over you. We'll make sure you're fine. I'm like, well, we are new here too, and yeah, she knows. I know you're new. We don't have the finances, but you will be okay, you know. So she allowed us to go think about it first before taking any action. So which is a good thing. It worked in our favor. And so we went with our, like, you know, with our tails in like a dog who has just been, you know.
So I went reprimanded, yeah, or sent to the dog house.
Yeah, we just left. We're not really happy with that. So when we went home, I was cooking. Maybe not the same day. On a Sunday, we're always connecting online to services. Ezra was watching a sermon by John Hagee, and I was cooking or doing something in the kitchen. Then he comes down to say, hey, I'm listening to this sermon. I think God is speaking to Ross. No, did I mention about when I slept?
No. You have to go. You have to. So this happened after.
Yes, after my
evening encounter with the Lord.
Yes. So
we'll come back to that in a second.
Yeah. So I went to bed, you know, and then I heard, I couldn't sleep. I was troubled. You know when they say you were troubled in your spirit? I was troubled in my spirit. And I heard very clearly, I was going crazy. It says, do not throw away your jasmine. Jasmine, okay. So I looked up the meaning of jasmine is a flower, but the other meaning said God's gift.
So don't throw away God's gift.
Don't throw away God's gift. And I know Jasmine is a female name. I'm like, okay, who knows if I'm going to have a female. I mean, I just didn't want to dwell on that thought.
FYI, they did have a baby girl. And guess what her name is? It's Jasmine.
So Ezra was listening to, let's fast forward to the day Ezra was listening to this sermon by himself and was convinced that God wanted us to keep the baby.
So God spoke to Ezra separately and to you separately.
Yes.
And I know that you felt like, okay, God spoke to me and I heard this really clearly, but I don't want to be the one to go to Ezra and break the deal that we made.
Yes, because we had a deal. So I'll be the one backing out on that deal. I didn't want to be that person. And then God did his thing. He didn't tell me. He just kept saying, he listened to this sermon. We should listen to it together. I didn't get round to listening to the sermon. So hours later, I'm like, just tell me, what's the sermon about? It's like, he's pretty convinced. It's about abortions. We shouldn't do it. He, I'm like, oh, okay. I also had this voice, I was thinking my head was playing with me. And I told
him. So God speaking to both of you separately.
Yes. So that was how we changed our plans, and we agreed again that we're going to keep the baby. So that's our journey of obedience. I mean, trying to do the right thing. It wasn't very easy. But the thing that came with it is we had peace in our hearts. Like, I could sleep well.
Isn't that amazing how you come into agreement with God, and despite you, nothing changed in that moment. You weren't working, so it wasn't like the financial situation changed.
Absolutely.
But you had peace.
Yes. Nothing changed. We still didn't, Ezra still didn't have a job. I didn't have a job. At that point, I couldn't work, And there were still struggles, through the whole journey, but that peace was that consistent thing. In fact, Ezra was he was sickly during that time and after the baby's birth. And he was like, hey, so did you just come here? God, you brought us here so that my husband would die and leave me,
I didn't know that. So he actually wasn't well for a period of time. Yeah. That must have been a little stressful.
It was stressful. He struggled with his health and being unable to help with the kids because he was really struggling. But God has been faithful. He's in a better place, and we're all in a better place, and we're thankful for the journey.
Amen.
Yes.
I do want to just throw something in here, and we're going to come back, and we're gonna pray for you all in a second. But I know and I understand that not everybody has made the choice that Nena and Ezra made in choosing to keep their baby. So I, for one, when I was 16, I had an abortion. And it's a tough decision, either decision that you make. But when you make that decision, there's a lot of other things that come with that, and a lot of other baggage. And there's guilt and shame I really had to work through years later as I became a Christian, forgiving myself and receiving God's forgiveness. And I want to say to you that if you or your partner have made that decision at some point, whether you were friends with God at that time or not, there is forgiveness. And he has forgiven us for all our past sin, all today's, but also even the sins that we're going to commit in the future. He's already forgiven those things and offered forgiveness. So if you need to come have a little chat with me and we can walk through, how do you forgive yourself? That's the hardest. I learned how to forgive other people, but forgiving myself was the hardest. So I just want to put that in there and offer that to you, that there's forgiveness and there's healing, and you can move forward. Now, just before we end, though, how did you end up here at Hillside? This is a pretty cool story. All has to do with the decision to keep Jasmine.
Yes. So, I ended up here. 3 months after I had Jasmine, 3-4 months, someone connected me with the Calgary Pregnancy Care Center. Now, when they found out I was in Airdrie, they linked me up with Carlene at the Airdrie Pregnancy Care Center. Now, around that time, they were taking bookings for photo shoots, milestones for babies. So either pregnancy shoots or 3 months, 6 months, and whatever. And then I signed up for the 6-month one for Jasmine. And so we went as a family. The volunteer at the time, who is a Christian, she was late. And she started talking, apologizing, explaining her husband was in church. He was meant to come look after the baby. She had a baby herself. And then she comes for the photo shoot, and she was late because of he didn't come on time. Do I go to church? I'm like, you know, it was still around COVID. No, 2021. I wasn't going to church, basically. We were attending a few times. We attended St. Paul's Catholic Church because the people we had stayed with were Catholics. So we were still searching for a church family. And she invited us here, and that's how come we're here. If not for Jasmine, maybe we would have found it, but it would have been a longer route. But she made it easier. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we are glad that you're here. And I just want to say, church, that recently we've seen a lot of new families pop in. And I just want to encourage you, if you've planted your flag here, make sure you welcome these new people. Whether they're here just for one Sunday, like this lady didn't, they went on to go at another church.
Yes.
And we're happy also to be a landing place for people who just need a place to kind of land and figure out what's their church life going to look like. We want you to stay here, but if it ends up being somewhere else, we're still friends. That's totally fine. We release you in that. So we're so glad that your family is a part of our church.
Thank you. We're glad to be
so we're just
going to
pray, right, for everybody. So I'll start and she's going to close. So we want to pray for you. So, Father, we thank you for just the great things that you do in our lives and the beautiful healing that takes place when you make us aware and transform us through your forgiveness. And so, Father, I pray for all the people that this morning are feeling like they need to forgive themselves or they need forgiveness from you, Father. I pray that there would just be a miraculous moment in their lives, even in this minute, but even going forward, that they would experience your great forgiveness and grace and redemption. And we thank you for that.
And Father, we ask for those who are facing a very difficult situation, and it's tough to decide to do the right thing. It's tough sometimes to choose what the Bible says, what God wants, over what we want. Father, we ask that you would lead us, you would lead them, you would show them, you would direct them, you would grant the grace and enablement to do what they have to do. Grant us peace, Lord, continually, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, my friend. That was great. All right. Well, now I get to tell you a little bit of my story. You heard my salvation story. What I'm going to talk about is, it's about a time when God did change things for me in an instant through a word, but it required me to trust him. And so I want to focus on that. But if I had to title this little section of my testimony, I would call it How I Found Joy in the Middle of a Mess. So in 2010, so about 14 years ago, I encountered a very messy situation, a very messy time in my life. It was the hardest time in my entire life. At that time, I'd been married 26 years. We'd been in business together for 22, had a very successful, thriving business. Prior to starting that business, we'd been on the mission field together. We were missionaries in Bogota, Colombia, working with YWAM or Youth with a Mission. I had really fought for our marriage all through our married life. I'd sacrificed, you know, my own dreams and my own desires to, you know, make things work and help, you know, my husband achieve his goals and his dreams. I didn't realize that I'd really died to all my own dreams and hopes and desires until a little later on. And I tried really hard, and I didn't always get it right. I too contributed to the disintegration of our relationship. When we got to this point in 2010, I had actually come to a point of growing closer to the Lord, but my husband at the time had fallen away from the Lord. In fact, has become an atheist. And so I didn't know that at the time. I just knew he was very distant from the Lord and there was some, you know, conflict in our life. So in 2010, I was 47 and I was on a youth missions trip in Costa Rica. And so some of you have heard about our Costa Rica missionaries, Lana and Jonathan. Well, Lana and Jonathan weren't together at the time. They didn't even know each other. But we were at Jonathan's mom and dad's church, so his home church. We were ministering in the little city of La Lucha. And while I was there, I got a text from my house cleaner. Don't judge me. Yes, I had a house cleaner at the time. I don't now. But at the time, life was a lot busier and bigger and many people in my house, not so many this time. So my house cleaner texted me, and she didn't even know how to text. So I knew something was up. She's like, when you get back, we need to talk. And she would not tell me, like, what it was. So I called my oldest daughter, and I'm like, is there anything going on? Like, what's happening? And she goes, well, no, nothing's really happened. I'm just... Dad's in Vegas. Let me just tell you, what happens in Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas. That's a lie. That's a lie. So I knew, I kind of knew what was happening. And I was a bit of a mess, but I hid it because I was a leader. You know, there was stuff I had to do. I was leader of a missions trip along with my pastor and youth pastor. I didn't tell them. But that night, I was rooming with this just one girl. It was a small team, so I was just with one girl in a room. She got a couple bug bites, so I gave her some Benadryl. I did not know I was only supposed to give her half a Benadryl. And I didn't read all the paperwork that mom and dad had sent. I do now. Anyway, knocked her right out. But the fortunate part of that, oh, and she survived. But the fortunate... The fortunate part of that is that I could cry, and I tell you, I was broken, and I just cried all night. I was up all night, so much unknown, but I just kind of held it all together, you know, finished the trip, preached the gospel, you know, was my normal self to everybody, but on the way home, I did share with my pastor as we were driving to the airport. I said, I think I'm coming home. To the discovery that my husband's had an affair. And yes, that was the case. There was a lot of different kind of evidence and things that kind of began to come to light. The Lord brought some things to me just miraculously. There was a lot of denial. He denied it. I was made to feel like I was crazy. But I began, I hired a PI because just the truth was not coming out. And this could have been a movie. I'll tell you, it was very interesting. Good ending to the story. But I was having a tough time. And 14 days after I got home from that trip, up until then, I kind of held it all together with our business. We had a big event going on, and I had to just pretend like everything was normal, which is really hard to do if you've ever done that. I had the young woman that he'd had the affair with was sitting right in the middle of the event space, and I had to just, I'm emceeing this event and having to pretend like everything's normal. But I knew things had started to come together, and I knew that what I thought was true. And I actually, with the help of a couple friends, I ended up securing for myself a one-bedroom furnished suite, like condo, and I ended up, I just moved out. He's with her somewhere, and he comes home, and I've moved out. And that began, and we did try reconciliation. So we did some counseling and things like that, but when there's a refusal to sever that relationship and to walk in truth, I just couldn't keep going with that, even though I was willing to forgive that. And I chose not to be vengeful, and I chose forgiveness. And at that time, like, you've never been that way before. Like, what do you do? Do you hire a lawyer? Like, I don't even know any lawyers. Who do I talk? Like, it's so unknown. How am I going to, like, I felt like in one day, I lost my business. I didn't lose my income, but I lost my job. I lost my home. I lost my dreams. Everything just imploded, like, in one day. And then it's like, well, what am I going to do? Who am I? I felt like I lost my identity. Some words that describe what I felt at that time was like, I felt like a basket case. It was just a disaster. I was confused. I was crushed. I felt ashamed. I felt stupid. I felt like I'd been duped. And just, you know, I didn't know where I was going to go with this. But God. And let me tell you, this is what God did for me. And I chose at that time to not ask God why. Why did this happen? I didn't dwell there. I chose not to be a victim. And I asked him how. How am I going to get through? How are we going to get through this? And so I chose to trust Jesus in this. Even though I didn't know what the result was going to look like, we ended up using mediation and things worked out fine, but that took a few years. In that moment, I had no idea, but I chose to trust. And so what I did, I was, the only thing I could really focus on at that time, I couldn't read any books, was the Word of God. So I chose to focus on the Word of God. I chose to figure out how to forgive. And so I was in the Word. And then I stopped reading, and then I decided, well, I'm just going to journal some things. So I had these concerns. I had these challenges. I refused to call them problems, but there were these unknowns, and I just wrote them all down. God, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know about this. And I just wrote them all out, and I kind of just gave them to him. And then I turned, and I looked at my Bible, and this is what he said. Psalm 32:8. The Lord says, Lori, it doesn't say Lori in your Bible, but to me it did. Lori, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And I was like, amen. I just felt in that moment, what? He is going to advise me and he's going to watch over me. I felt covered. I felt protected in that moment. And I have to say that I actually felt like a presence in my room. Like God's presence just came when I read that word, and I really believed that he was watching over me and he was going to protect me and he was going to guide me along the best pathway for my life. And even though in that moment none of my concerns were addressed, I felt his presence and I trusted him. And I felt his presence so strongly that the word that I really used to describe that moment, and it's a weird word, but it's the best word I could think of, is that I felt spoiled. Like I felt cared for. I knew that he was going to look after me. I didn't feel alone. And I have never, even though I live on my own, I have never felt alone. And it's him, it's his presence. And he gave me that assurance through his word. And it completely transformed how I journeyed through this. So I trusted him. So I know that that is easy to say. That just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Okay, I want to trust the Lord. I'm just going to give you a little hint from the word on how to do that. As we close up here. So how do we trust? So if you take a look at Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You know, that's easy to say. We hear it. Okay. But here's the details behind that. Number one is to tell God what you need. So talk to him. Tell him what you need. Write out all your concerns. What do you need? Tell him. Talk to him. And then the second thing he says to do in order not to walk in worry is to thank him for everything he has done. And if the only thing you can think of is that you have running water out of your tap, thank him for that. And if you don't have running water, thank him for the rain water sitting in your kiddie pool or your buckets outside. You can thank him for something, but gratitude is powerful. So I want to encourage you, church, if you need to trust the Lord, and we all need to trust the Lord in everything, talk to him about the things you have on your heart. Tell him what you need, and then remember in gratitude to thank him for everything that he's done. And then the verse goes on in verse 4, verse 7, and it says, so when you do those things, this is the result. Then you will experience God's peace. Huh, really? Isn't that cool? Which exceeds anything we can even understand. And the last part says, and this is why we can't understand it, that his peace will guard our heart and his peace guards our mind. So when you think about worry and how you can kind of go in these spirals, well, his peace actually guards us from going in those spirals. So go back to telling God what you need and thanking him for what he's done. Isn't that cool? Like, it's a whole, like, whole instruction and result and out of the Word of God. It's a beautiful thing. So I want to encourage you, church, in everything, trust the Lord. He can do it. So the power of testimony. It inspires worship and thankfulness. It reminds us of his faithfulness. It builds our faith. Our testimony becomes an instrument of drawing people closer to God or even into relationship with him for the first time. So I want to encourage you, church, stir up testimony. Ask your family and friends and strangers, if you happen to be chatting with a stranger, tell me your story. Tell me your faith journey. Talk to me about how you came to know the Lord if you know that they're a believer. And this morning, I was actually reading my Bible and came across Psalm 9. This is just where I was happened to be reading. And it says this, and I love this. It says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of the marvelous things you have done. That's a declaration. So I declare that over you, and I pray that you will declare that as well. Like, tell of all the marvelous things that God has done, big and small. You might think it's a tiny thing, but it's a big thing. And then it says the result of that is I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name. So, Father, thank you for your word and how you encourage us and instruct us and keep us on the right path. And if we stray a little, your forgiveness is there and you have a redemptive plan for each one of us. So I want to pray for you, and then I'm going to bless you with the blessing that that our church has embraced and become known for. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for writing all of these beautiful individual stories, young and old, walking in your redemptive grace. We all have redemption in our lives and in our stories. So, Father, I pray for a stirring up of testimony at Hillside Church and in our Hillside family. Father, I pray that as we ask each other what each other's stories are, Father, I pray that as compassion and understanding well up within us, that relationship with each other will grow and be built and be strengthened. I thank you for the friendships that are developing here. And Father, I pray that the compassion that rises up within us would really just minister even to the other person. Father, we trust you with words of encouragement that we can give to each other. And I pray, Father, that we would just rise up and become a church that testifies to you and the marvelous things that you have done. And we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for being a part of this message from Hillside Church. We pray that God was able to speak to you through what was shared. We're so grateful to be able to share God's word with our church community and family. and that includes you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hillside Airdrie. You can contact us through email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca, or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca and click on Contact Us from the main menu. Or you can find our pastoral team contact by clicking on Our Pastors from the Our Church drop-down menu. Our vision for everyone that shares in Hillside Church is that they would know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power in their lives. And we pray this message ministered to you. At Hillside Church, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go. This